Hello, listeners. Jordan here. I just want to let you know that you can listen to Nighttime early and ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
You are tuned to the Nighttime Podcast, focused on the fringe of Canada.
Hello, listeners. In tonight's episode, we're going to dig into one of the stranger and oftentimes darker online subcultures that exist. If you're a regular listener of Nighttime, you're likely already familiar with the concept of an incel. They are the online community made up predominantly of men who define their identity by the fact that they are involuntarily celibate. But as many Nighttime listeners also know, the incel subculture doesn't just collect on the internet and wallow in misogyny, self-pity, and entitlement. Some members of the incel community have seen their inability to get laid as justification for horrific acts of mass murder. It's twisted, dark, and a very troubling part of the internet, but I think it's also fascinating and well worth exploring here on Nighttime. To help guide us along the way, I've invited a colleague from the world of podcasting to join us here. Nama Cates is the host of Incel, a podcast focused specifically on this subculture. So let's get into it. Tonight, in this episode of Nighttime, Nama Cates will give us a guided tour through the world of incels.
Tomorrow is the day of retribution. The day in which I will have my revenge against humanity. Girls gave their affection and sex and love to other men, but never to me. Instead of me, the supreme gentleman.
In terms of your feelings towards women in general, how would you describe that?
I would say that sometimes I am a bit upset that they choose to date obnoxious men instead of gentlemen.
A man allegedly went into a erotic massage parlor in Toronto. He allegedly attacked a young woman with a machete and killed her, and then attacked a second woman. The police are alleging that this attack was related to incel ideology.
Nama Cates, tell me a bit about you and about your show.
Basically, I have a show called Incel. It's a podcast. It started more than 2 years ago now, and I started working on it and thoughts about it maybe 3 years ago at this point. My background is like yours, as we kind of discovered. We mutually share a performance arts background. Mine being, and yours too, film and music. So that's what I was doing before, but not just performing. I was also, you know, producing and editing and directing and kind of doing all those kinds of things. I refer to it now as a media background when I have to write these little bios.
That's a much simpler way to put it. I had no idea you were into all that stuff. When I was putting this together, I was finding a link to like your website, and I searched your name to find your website. And then I was like, oh, weird. There must be like multiple people with the name Nama Cates.
Definitely not.
And then I was like, no, she's very busy.
Well, yeah, I don't do those things concurrently, though. I pretty much only do this and things related to it, whether it's writing about, talking about, you know, giving presentations on the topic incel. But I don't know exactly, you know, coming from the background that I have, I think a foray into podcasting might be expected. It's something that's gotten popular. I was coming to really love the medium, just as a medium, as a listener. I like storytelling through audio and having to work within those constraints. And some of the podcasts that I liked the most were true crime oriented, or kind of psychology, you know, obviously like everyone else, I was into Serial and into Crawl Space and Tim and Lance's shows. So around the time that I was getting really into those as a listener, the term incel just kind of made its way onto my radar, and I just found it fascinating. And I had some happenstance encounters with one individual specifically that turned out to be an incel. And I talked to him and I found our conversations interesting and asked if I could record them at one point. And I think I was probably already brewing the idea of making a podcast, but when I started listening to them back, I thought they were really interesting. And, you know, I looked at the topic and it's not a lot about this. So I decided to get into it, make a podcast about it. And now that's what I do. And it's a very kind of loaded topic that seems to be increasing in attention and scrutiny in all kinds of communities, including like counterterrorism communities in all of our countries.
Yeah, exactly. Certainly in Canada. I think in Canada, one of the first times someone like an incel motivated attack was
Mark Lepine.
Yeah, was charged with like, it was like terrorist related crime.
Oh, the first time that the terrorism designation, that's for the minor that shot the massage parlor, that stabbed the woman at the massage parlor.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into the topic of incels, I guess let's start with kind of a foundational statement. We know the term incel. We know that it stands for, or it's an abbreviated version of, and someone who's involuntarily celibate. Mm-hmm. You spend a lot more time thinking about the topic than I do. How would you, like, to a layman, if someone's like, Nama, what's this incel stuff you're always talking about? How would you describe an incel in this whole movement or ideology?
You know, people can probably put together that we're not talking about people who might be involuntarily celibate, but don't define themselves that way, don't even know of the term, don't know anything about the community. That's not what we're talking about, even though there are those people, you know, obviously. But so we're talking about, you know, this self-identification. And I would refer to it as a community because it is a group of people that have this thing in common. And they meet basically and talk to each other online. And it is a community of youngish men who can't get laid, basically, or can't have relationships, romantic relationships, and define themselves based on that. You know, they have an identity around that, and that might not be one that they share in real life, but it's their sort of primary identity online, and they share ideas and experiences and war stories and kind of philosophies, and they come up with a very unique language. That's one of the, you know, things that really ties them together, this identity. And in some of these ideas, you'll find some pretty, you know, misogynistic, depressing kind of language and themes. So that's mm-hmm. that's how I describe it.
Yeah. And from what I read, like, they also seem to hate men. Like, is it not like Chads and Stacys?
Yes.
So it's almost like it often seems like, at least to me as an outsider, when I think of an incel, I'm thinking about the most extreme, like Elliot Rodgers or Alec Manassian. And I'm seeing them being like, you know, the women are evil for not wanting to be with me. And all the other men that are with women are also rotten and nobody understands it. Like, that's kind of the way I see them, how they view the world almost.
Yeah, they're misanthropic and they're antisocial, or at least they present that way online. And they hate society, really. I would say that you probably would find more negative about women because that's where, you know, the energy is channeled. And that's also the sour grapes thing of like, well, this is the thing I'm obsessed with and I want the most. So if it doesn't want me, I'm going to speak badly about it. kind of a childish but not abnormal response to unrequited anything. I would say that that's something that I think is not really taken into consideration. I was very dismissed when I first started saying, well, these people are just misanthropes, that they hate everything and everyone and they're depressed. You know,
people. Yeah, you know, a lot of people who know the term incel and can maybe name one or two crimes that have been traced back to someone who self-identifies as an incel, people think of it as like an extremist, violent kind of community. Are these people who make headlines for, like, you know, driving a van down the sidewalk in Toronto, are they the standout extremists, or is it overall kind of a dark, we need to take action kind of movement or community?
Well, you just touched on why I object to calling it a movement. I think the Merriam-Webster definition for movement is something about a group of people bound together by a common goal. So incels do not have a goal, and they don't have calls to action of any kind or anything really prescriptive in the way they speak. There is no organization either. There's no organizing, let's do this and get this. And that's, I think, the biggest difference between that group and any other group that people kind of put into this violent extremism or just extremist bubble, which would include things like, you know, white supremacists, jihadists, left-wing kind of eco-terrorists. You could, you know, include Antifa in there. These are all groups that say, like, we're working toward this right, better thing. And there is this honor in doing that and pride in being a part of it. And incels have none of that. So that's why I don't think it's accurate to call it a movement at all. And to say that, you know, the cases that you just named, and if I can name all of them if we go through them one by one, a lot of these people didn't even identify as incel. There's all kinds of things. Manassian, you know, your judge, Justice Anne Malloy, had a very interesting ruling, which we can get into when we get to that crime. But the connection even between the group or the ideology, their ideology, the black pill, and anything to do with violence is very weak, just across the board. There's kind of like a panic about it. And it's just, you know, the majority of them are just kind of, you know, nerds, honestly. They're, you know, a lot of them are very smart, maybe sort of too smart for their own good. They don't have a ton of social experience. They don't have a ton of life experience in general. A lot of them are really shy, you know, they're awkward. There's all kinds of stuff that comes up with them.
What surprised me when I was reading about incels is it started initially, like, that, well, at least the term incel started years ago by a woman, and it was it wasn't like necessarily a negative thing. It was more like almost like a support group was kind of the plan, it seemed.
That was Alana Boldwood, a Canadian woman who I think is now a computer programmer. This was in the early 90s, I think. And that was the first usage of that phrase, that term. She was doing a school project about loneliness and she called it the Involuntary Celibacy Project. And I think she might have abandoned the initial project. It was like a website. So it sort of got co-opted years later by a very different group of people, but there were steps along the way. And I would say that, you know, her project wasn't negative insofar as loneliness isn't negative. And we can say that it kind of is. And you can say that incels too, even though most of what they say is kind of negative and emotionally negative, it's still mostly struggling with the same idea. And I think that the community serves as a support group for some of its members. I don't know if it's a great support group, you know, but I do think that's a big part of its function. And I think that's often misunderstood.
Speaking of like misunderstood and maybe you viewing incels and this community in a unique light, I've seen your show in your podcast criticized for being, or at least appearing to be, like sympathetic. Like, how do you approach the topic, especially like when you're speaking to people who identify as incels? Like, why would you get the criticism as being like, you know, how could you be sympathetic of these people?
Well, I mean, I think that there are a lot of people who have their minds made up about a topic and don't really listen to my show that are saying that. And for the people that are, I think that they are of the belief that if you actually listen to my show episode by episode, there are things that guests say that I might not agree with, and I don't push back on. But I'm certainly not platforming misogyny or saying, yeah, this is right. And when you really listen to it, most of the guests on my show aren't saying anything really hateful about women at all. I think I might have had a few episodes out of 60 or so where people have spoken that way. And in that, I do push back, but gently. But, you know, first of all, I think a lot of these people have, you know, mental health issues. They are taking a risk and a chance by giving me their time and their candor. And I don't think that I should be wagging my finger at them or asking them to answer for, you know, something that someone else did 5 years ago when they have nothing to do with that.
And now, aside from having these people on your show and exploring the topic, you know, publicly the way you do, I'm assuming like to get access to these people and to learn kind of the way of the incel, you're probably like in some pretty dark corners on the internet. Where do these, like the incel community who are discussing and sharing their grief, where does this happen? Like, where is this? Like, I don't imagine you're on Facebook joining a group called incels.
No, you certainly aren't. Or anywhere on Reddit. And that was not the case when I started this. That was not the case as recently as a couple years ago or even 1 year ago. It's just progressively, Reddit has been just systematically banning all of their communities for one reason or another. But when I started, there were a lot of them on Reddit. And in fact, the one place that I'd say is the biggest incel community right now is this site called incels.co or incels.is. The suffix changes a lot because they'll get their domain pulled for some reason or another. And that was actually made, I think, the day after the main subreddit, rincels, was banned in 2017. That's kind of an offshoot of that Reddit community. And that's definitely the biggest one.
With a lot of communities that get, I think the word would be deplatformed, like they get kicked off Facebook, kicked off Twitter, kicked off Reddit. You would have been covering incels as that was happening to them. Did you notice it get darker or more intense as they found their way to their own little corner of their own vacuum on the internet?
Yes, I did. But I would describe it more this way. Because I was familiar with that community from the beginning on, incels.co, we'll just call it, I've noticed the change in that community. So basically, I think one of the issues with incel communities is they often don't allow non-incels or outside voices. And I understand that, just like feminist spaces might not allow men or whatever. I think it's fine. But I do think that when you have a complete lack of, you know, external voices, then an echo chamber just becomes all the more echoey. And more negative stuff, it kind of gets regurgitated more and more. There's more gatekeeping. And there's another phenomenon too with deplatforming, which is why I'm not really a strong proponent of it at all, because it sort of cosmetically solves the problem for whatever platform is getting rid of this group. And maybe when you're talking about total numbers, because there's no subreddit anymore, you are going to reduce the total amount of people who are exposed to this material. that supposedly radicalizes them. But you're the more interested and more committed ones will find their way to wherever they're wanting to look. And so that base, then that group becomes kind of more extreme. And it also feeds into like this persecution narrative that exists in a lot of these groups. So I think it's changed the nature of the community. And a lot of people disagree.
Yeah, it's I see how it happens though, because if you're like a social media company, you may not want a controversial community like using your platform, but the end result is you push these people into a spot where there's little regulation or moderation, and they're just free to just run. It's problematic.
Yeah. There's no, you don't hear any outside voices or opinions. And for people that are really concerned about the threat posed by incels that think they're going to commit violent crimes, then you're also, you also can't monitor these groups as well. From a law enforcement perspective on Reddit, it's pretty easy to, attach some kind of account name to an actual person if you're law enforcement, not so much on a private, .is site.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we get into some of the more notable stories that are adjacent to incel in some way, I have to ask is as a woman who is infiltrating or at least rubbing elbows in a community that's mainly seen to be made up of misogynistic men, that must have been difficult. Like, what is that like?
It wasn't that difficult. People are very different one-on-one than they are in groups. I haven't put myself in a position where I am interfacing with a group. I don't have an account on their sites, for instance. I didn't infiltrate. It's been pitched that way sometimes, like to tease the show or whatever, to make it sound more exciting. But I didn't actually do that. I've seen writers and, people that are trying to do this now talk about how they infiltrated the community for 18 months or something. And it's ridiculous because, first of all, it is on the open web, this content, And so you're not really going to learn that much more by assuming an identity rather than just by lurking and reading. I find I learn a lot more by just being transparent and not infiltrating anything. I feel like if I did have an account or something like that, if I was doing something different than a podcast, maybe YouTube, maybe this is another reason I don't really do that, is I feel like just the trolls and the haters, I'm sure I could take it by now. I've gotten plenty of it. But, as a group with the group think and all of that, I think that it would be a little bit more difficult. I'm talking to individuals one-on-one, most of whom I would say one of the main features is feeling like they're not recognized in a way for their intelligence or something, like, they're not noted or they're unseen. And so they want their stories to be told, and I give them an opportunity to do that. And after a little bit of time, they realize that I wasn't trying to misrepresent them in any way and actually doing the unthinkable and just letting them talk.
Speaking of that, what has the reaction from that community been of your podcast? Because it seems like very few people are telling the story of the community as a whole. It's more so covering the individuals. Like, how have the incel community reacted to you doing what you do?
I'm sure it's been very mixed. I do think that the more time that goes by and the more they see that I'm sticking to this line and not turning all of a sudden, maybe that helps a little bit. There is distrust and there is paranoia all the time. It's a group that kind of has a lot of that to begin with. And then also they even have like rules on their forums that you'd be banned for, I think it's called FOID worship or simping or something. So even saying something too positive about like any kind of female is not really allowed. So, you know, I'm not expecting to get like a lot of overt incel praise in their spaces. And I don't look for that. And I don't look at that. I know that there's probably been a lot of negative stuff on there and I just avoid it. There's just no point. But I haven't had to look for a guest for a really long time. A lot of them are reaching out to me all the time. So, you know, I know that in that respect, individually, they will let me know that they appreciate it.
Well, let's move on to some of the more notable stories. So let's start with this. Is I get that incels and the community has been around, as we said, for years since with the Canadian woman starting it. But what was the first event that put that on the map of, like, you know, a mainstream issue? Was it Elliot Rodgers in the United States?
Yeah. I still wouldn't say it's mainstream. There's still lots of people don't know anything about it, but like into the mainstream media, yeah, that was Elliot Rodger. And really the Alana Bolt with the initial kind of coinage of the term doesn't have that much to do with the community we're talking about today. They just kind of took the term. But that community had been existing in some form or other since like 2010 thereabouts, different websites. And Elliot Rodger actually never even used the term incel in his, you know, 150 page manifesto or any of his content. He didn't call himself that. He did spend a little bit of time in one of the proto incel kind of websites and didn't like it. So that was actually media very much that made that connection and told that narrative. Well, yeah.
Well, I think in Elliot Rodger's case, we can talk a bit about the details of what he did. But one of the things was he made a lot of like almost like a video diary where he'd be sitting in his sports car just with his camera in like selfie mode, just talking to the camera.
Yeah.
And when you think of an incel and the issues they have with society, specifically with women, that Elliot Rodgers was just obsessed with that. So he would just be ranting about like, I'm a good person. Women don't like me. They won't be in a relationship with me. They're with these useless guys.
Yeah.
But he never like came out and said, I am an incel.
No, he didn't. He also didn't really talk much about other men going through this. I mean, this was someone who was just insanely self-absorbed. And in his manifesto, which is like a diary, basically of every, you know, slight he's ever, every narcissistic injury he'd ever received in my dark, twisted world. The women or girls in it are very much like an afterthought. You know, it's not like he's pining or obsessing over anyone in particular. It's just kind of the fact, it's like a commodity, a status symbol for him. And he's much more interested in comparing himself with other men and his male friendships. But the women represent something to him that they should be interested in him. And so I think that was kind of like his measure of self-worth, and the fact that they wouldn't be was just unacceptable to him.
And he was in Elliot Rodger. Roughly what was the date that he did the shooting spree?
It was May 20 something 2014.
Yeah, so maybe tell us then, for people who don't know his story, maybe tell us a little bit about what he actually did, and if there was any, like, aside from his issue with the world, was there anything that set him off? Like, what actually went down with Elliot Rodgers?
So the story with Elliot Rodger is that this was you know, a pretty privileged kid who grew up in Hollywood and came from a very wealthy family, you know, was extremely narcissistic and on the autism spectrum, and had a lot of difficulties being popular and making friends. He was very socially awkward and very spoiled by his parents, and also neglected, I think. And he was attending college. Initially, I think he went to UCSB in Santa Barbara, But then he sort of dropped out of that and was at this community college nearby. And I think he might have even dropped out of that by the time the attack took place. And he was 22 years old. He had you know, a license to a firearm, and even though he'd had many mental health interventions too, which is another story. So he had weapons. He decided that he was going to commit this attack on the day of retribution, as he called it, when, you know, he, the supreme gentleman, would get retribution on all these people, namely these girls, college girls from a popular sorority, the ones that he felt should like him, you know, the attractive popular ones, that he was going to kill them, and also the popular guys they were with. He ended up stabbing his roommate in his apartment when he left, and taking, you know, his gun and ammunition with him, driving down to a popular, like, college bar street, and just kind of shooting indiscriminately at people in the street before killing
from
himself.
From his car window, right? Like, out mm-hmm. of his car window?
Yeah.
And then he ended his own life, like, mm-hmm. that same night. And it's, what's, when you watch a video, like, what I know about him mainly was, like, I've never read the manifesto or whatever, but I've watched several of his videos, and what strikes me is he's really intelligent. Like, he's well-spoken and articulate. He's driving a super expensive, like, sports car. Like, you can tell he had a lot of advantage in the world, yeah. but he was just fixated on this thought that he deserves the affection of attractive women, and he isn't getting it. And as you said, in when you were describing it there, he referred to it as, like, the day of retribution. Mm-hmm. Like, he felt like, I'm justified in getting back at them, and they deserve this.
Yes.
But it's like, it's wild and weird, but he did kind of take on, like, a bit of a role of, like, a almost like a martyr for this cause, yeah. it seems, at least to some of the more extreme people after.
Yeah, I mean, so that's kind of a complicated issue too, just because this is a community known for its shitposting, edgelording, shitposting, you know, post-ironic humor. That it kind of came around when this community did, a little bit after, with 4chan, and with that kind of edgy, subversive humor that's used. I mean, I personally quite quickly found myself getting it, frankly, getting what was funny about it, and it would make me laugh. When I started the podcast account, I started following people, because this is, you know, how I started doing this, with networking and finding people. I just started following people that other people followed that looked like they might be incel accounts and stuff. And one of them screenshotted it and wrote, like, oh my God, and just showed the screenshot of, like, Incel Project followed me. And then they wrote something like, hello, Incel reporter. I am the second coming of Elliot Rodger, also Genghis Khan, like, blah, blah, blah. And it was a joke, and they were trolling me, and I found it funny. You know, so there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that. And then,
yeah.
And then there are people that, you know, might say that they get it. Early guest I had on my show, Frothy Solutions, explained, you know, that nobody's advocating for this, and people don't want to do it themselves or anything, but they feel like they could relate to the person's Elliot Rodger or whoever it is, to their life otherwise, but before this killing.
But at least as a Canadian, like, what I know most about incels is Alec Manassian's attack in Toronto. And he certainly looked at Elliot Rodgers as someone who, you know, paved the way for,
yes,
at least what happened in Toronto.
Yes, he sure did. And so did any incel attack, whether that's, you know, justified or not, that language is some kind of a copycat of Elliot Rodger. And that's the truth. Mm-hmm. They are. And so, yes, it's definitely become something, you could call it like the charismatic preacher of a movement or something, with those videos where he's talking with that ridiculous affect, like Oscar Wilde or something, you know, that casts a very compelling figure, I suppose, as does that manifesto. And the fact that it got around so much is, it is the fault of the media, but that would, so are we ready to talk about Alec Manassian? Because
let's get there.
Okay.
Before we do though, as far as like the main kind of things that happen, would Manassian kind of be next on,
well,
like, I don't expect you to go through everyone, but I'm just thinking like we touch on the major.
That was a really big one. That was the other really big one, I would say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Chris Harper Mercer is the one that happened a year later. So that was 2015. Elliot Rodger was 2014. Manassian was in 2018. You did ask something that I just want to touch on briefly, because I didn't, which is like what happened before this. And that's a good question, because what happened with Elliot Rodger and what I have seen case after case after case of these is this downward spiral. So, you know, someone might have a lot of thoughts like this, or fixation with themselves, or hating society, or, you know, becoming notorious or whatever from a young age, and other problems, kind of comorbid health diagnosis, a lot of them that, sorry, I'm careful not to say, because I don't want to stigmatize too much, but there are some, you know, certain conditions that are definitely prevalent in the group and in the killers especially. And usually also there is some kind of major life like setback or failure. So the dropping out of school, being fired from a job, these kinds of things happen. Person starts to plan, you know, and they start to grow more and more desperate and more depressed. And that happened with Elliot Rodger. He had dropped out of school by that point and was just kind of doing that all the time. And that happened with Manassian too, in a different way. And then another common thing too is like a short attempt at military service. Which often
I didn't know Elliot. Yeah, I knew Alec Manassian. No, he didn't. Okay, so Manassian. Yeah. I've covered his
his most story. Of the other one.
Oh, sorry. We just had I think you call it getting Skyped. You're just like cut out for a sec, but it's all good. We're good now. I think you hear me all right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. So when Manassian did what he did in Toronto, that was huge news across Canada, like a major city that everybody in Canada knows, Toronto, of course. Was it as big of a story in the United States where you are?
That was a huge story everywhere, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, by that point, I was also already doing this kind of art. So, you know, it was an insanely huge story for me. But I think it was a really big story everywhere. Mm-hmm.
And I was forgetting that you were covering the topic at that time. So that must have been, you would have been right in that world already. So that must have been very shocking.
Well, I wasn't covering it. The podcast hadn't started, but I was already researching it. So yeah, it was, you know, like, I think I started researching it really in earnest, just a little bit before that. And so a few months later, I was like, okay, I have to do this. But the trial and, you know, the release of the interrogation footage, all of that happened while I was doing the show. So I had a lot of emergency episodes while that was going on.
I bet. Yeah. So where Elliot Rodger's, his attack involved driving around shooting people who listen to my show will know Manassian's story, where he rented a van and used that as a weapon, which, for one, the connection to the incel community makes that notable and interesting, but even just the nature of that style of attack and the horror that that would unleash on a city is just so shocking. Like I'm thinking, no matter what world you're in, that would be a big, you know, shocking story. But how was it perceived in, you know, the incel community, for a member, a self-identified member of that community, to take that extreme of a step?
Well, they were skeptical of it, and they were right to be, to a degree. They were skeptical because there was very little evidence that he was involved with the community. You know, there was one Facebook post that was supposedly from him, and not much else had been, you know, established at all to kind of make that connection. And but, you know, there's a series of reactions you can expect from a community like this. Anytime something happens, some people go right for the shock thing and start saying saint, you know, AM, da, da, da. And most of them are just doing that to put off reporters. And then a lot of them, you know, will say how bad this is for the community. They'll start saying, you know, writing on their forums, like, hey, Glowy, which means like FBI, like, am I on a list yet? They start, you know, talking about how the site will probably be banned. And a lot of them speculate about how this person wasn't actually an incel, and it, you know, it's a false flag. There were all of those things, but it did lead to some bans and some more migrations, you know, and since then, a lot more.
Yeah, because at the time, like when Elliot Rodgers did what he did, it was the first time, and it was this kind of like just like this case that came out of nowhere. But then with Manassian, people would already be able to connect it to Rodgers. And Alec Manassian even mentioned Rodgers in the tweet he did right before he did the attack.
Yes.
But with Alec Manassian's story, when he was interrogated and whatnot, it seemed like he was making a lot of his connections to the incel community up.
He was making it up. And as soon as that footage and the audio and transcript were released, I went on the show and said that, because it was just, you know, it didn't make any sense that he would have been in contact with Elliot Rodger. So he cited Elliot Rodger and this Chris Harper Mercer that I mentioned, who committed the shooting at a college the next year, and said that he'd been in contact with them both. Now, you know, both of them killed themselves when they committed their attack. So we're already going back 4 or 3 years respectively. It's already unlikely, you know, they were not. One thing that I've noticed through doing my work is that attackers, however connected they may be to the community, are not usually active posters at all. They don't have like a persona in the group. People that have a persona are usually pretty happy to have their persona. So, you know, I didn't think Elliot Rodger or Chris Harper Mercer would be randomly communicating with some guy on the internet at that point. And if the timeline didn't end up, he was saying some of the wrong platforms. When he told his story to the detective, Robert Thomas, he also told a story that sounded remarkably like one from Elliot Rodger's manifesto. And I noticed that too. It was like a Halloween party and this thing happened with a girl. It was just, no, you know, didn't seem real. But I wasn't sure at that time whether he was making it up or maybe he had kind of, I don't know, was not making up, but exaggerating a little bit for the clout. I knew he was at least certainly doing that. Or whether he even was in such a sort of psychotic state that he might have believed this, because he was obviously not very in touch with reality to do what he did. One of the things that was really interesting with that case is it's, you know, one of the very few of any of, not even just incels, but, you know, kind of terrorism cases or school shooters where the person survives. So
he tried not to, though. Manassian after his van, the rental van that he was driving down the sidewalk killing people with, got like, I think it got, someone put coffee on the windshield, mm-hmm. and he just like stopped driving it.
Yeah.
There's this kind of famous scene, which is it's one of the very few viral videos that shows a police officer
doing something good.
Yeah. Manassian is like pulling out his wallet over and over as if it's a gun, mm-hmm. trying to get the cop to shoot him, and the cops not having any of it.
Yep.
And they take him in.
And they do. And that was beautiful. I mean, that was really good police work. All of it was, with the way that that case was handled. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I wasn't really sure what to believe. And I'm always kind of careful to like make any assertions, even if I'm, you know, fully saying this is not fact. It's just what I think. I'm kind of careful to do that. But as the trial kind of began and then unfolded, more and more was coming out that just, you know, fit what I see in so many of the cases, which is that this person had a fascination with mass killers from a very young age, not incels, mass killers, you know, someone who by 10, 11, 12 is already idolizing the Adam Lanzas and Dylan Klebolds and things as he did. Is not necessarily, I don't think it's required that they be radicalized by some online ideology for them to want to become violent. Nor do I think that they're doing that to further some cause as he claimed he was. And it was clear that the story wasn't true. The story about the girl, it also seemed like he, you know, he'd done some military service and then had like, as he did, you know, limited sort of successes with school, but he completed the program and, you know, was meant to be starting work. But it didn't seem that he was like, it didn't seem like he had become involved with this in any way as early as he claimed. And, you know, we already knew that was likely to be untrue. It's not possible for any of us to know exactly what's in his head. I mean, obviously they tried to go with a defense, basically, you know, an autism spectrum disorder defense, which is mm-hmm. wild. Being on the autism spectrum does not make you mentally ill in any way. It does, I think there is a correlation with being predisposed to kind of like changing beliefs and black and white thinking and a lot of these things that make it just make the experience of someone on the spectrum with online content and sort of extreme content one to look out for. Also with difficulty with social cues and all those things. And this is unrelated, but the proportion of that condition in the incel community is huge. It's staggering. It's like really? 20% have a formal diagnosis of their community, and then another 20% think that they might be on the spectrum too, but aren't diagnosed. Yeah, compared to like 2% of the regular population.
Terrorism generally would imply like a, you know, a political ideological thing, but it seems like most of these incel attacks, it's not like they're out to, you know, further the cause. It more seems to be just like an explosion of angst and anger.
Yes, 100%. That is what it is. It's personal. It's not, you know, terrorism is violence in the name of furthering a political cause, like you said. And some people can stretch that definition to be something not exactly political, but like religious, some kind of ideological cause at least. And this isn't that, you know, the whole, you know, Manassian said something about the Beta Uprising or the Incel Rebellion, and he was just parroting from Elliot Rodger and Chris Harper Mercer in a really exaggerated way. But that is not a real cause, you know, not for anyone who's, you know, even slightly attached to reality, is killing, even let's say they got 50 people, women or whatever, going to revolutionize the way that society is and give incels their pick of women? You know, that's not, nobody's really under that illusion, except someone who's under a whole lot of delusion, and that might happen occasionally. But it seemed unlikely in this case, frankly. And ultimately, the judge made a ruling that I think was very wise, and you know, it's online somewhere, just what she said, because there was a lot of talk about whether this was terrorism and whether being an incel had to do with it. And she ultimately, after reviewing all the evidence, said, you know, two things that were notable. One was like, this is a killer. This man is a murderer who has autism, not an autistic killer. And I'm not even going to consider the insult angle in my decision, because I believe this young man wants notoriety and is using that to get more of it. And I think that was very wise and very, you know, good ruling. To date, I know that the terrorism designation didn't happen, because to date, the only first and only person who's been charged with terrorism for anything other than, you know, Islamist extremism in Canada is this minor that committed the Sudbury massage parlor stabbing.
Yeah, and when did that happen in relation to Manassian? Was it like a year later?
A year or two. Yeah, it was like a year and a half later, I think, in the winter of 2020.
And that one, that case is one where, like, in Canada, it was covered what had happened, but very little,
because it's detail minor, was given, I think, up. And I think it's partially because it's a minor, so they can't release any details about him, the suspect that did it. And he's also still alive, so there is a trial pending. So I think it's mostly for legal reasons.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But in short, like, what we know is that he had a connection with the incel community and he went to like a massage parlor.
Yes, but we don't know what that connection is at all. We don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, I'm skeptical of, you know, I do believe that police, to have gone as far as given this a terrorism designation, there has got to be something there. But but I don't know what that is, because, you know, in the UK, there was just a shooting, the first mass shooting in over 10 years in the UK in August, with this Plymouth shooter, Jake Davison, that I've written a lot about and talked a lot about. And those stories started coming out of the media, like, immediately, that this is like an incel killer. And when I looked into it, you know, this was someone that obviously knew what incels were and related to them, but didn't even define himself as one. He was also on like anti-incel communities. But yet they were saying this killing was motivated by incel ideology, even though the police right away said, you know, we don't think this has anything to do with terrorism. This seems like a domestic incident. And that's what they ultimately ruled, despite the public pressure to look at it as an incel killing. So, you know, we don't know what that connection was.
Interesting. Well, do you know, with the child or the minor or whatever in Ontario, in Toronto, do you know when that case will be heard? Like, do you know what the dates are, or like when we're expecting to learn more about what happened with that stabbing?
I don't know.
I guess even if there was a date plan, that it'd all be thrown up in the air because of COVID. Yeah. Anyway, everything's different now.
And also, these cases take, you know, I mean, Manassian's just happened not even a year ago, and that was from 2018. When it's this big of a case, the lawyers push for a lot of continuances, and it gets delayed and delayed.
And the more serious the charges, the more complicated it's going to be. So if they're throwing terrorism in there, that's going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
So it'll be a ways away. So are there any other like major incel kind of moments or crimes or topics that we didn't get into that I don't know about?
I guess, you know, the Plymouth thing was pretty big, that just happened. That sort of put it back on the map for everyone again. A lot of pressure, you know, to label incels a terrorist group. I guess that's kind of one of the features. Between, I would say that Manassian and Elliot Rodger so far are the biggest cases. Interestingly, I think a case that I just covered for the show that certainly happened way before there was a term like incel, but definitely would have been called one today, was also in Canada, in Montreal. It was the Montreal Massacre. So I just had someone on the show whose cousin was killed in that attack.
Oh, yeah. Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about L'École Polytechnique.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and that involved someone who went into a woman's engineering school, and he
it was a co-ed school.
Oh yes, it was a co-ed school, but he made the men.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he made the men leave the classroom. Yes. So he could be alone with the women to attack.
Yes.
Yeah, certainly the incel vibe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like the form of the incel attacker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess since the idea of incel is a new thing, you can almost look back at some of these stories through a different lens. And I never would have considered that with Polytechnique. I would have just saw it as misogynistic. But there's a very fine line, it seems, between misogynistic and incel.
Thing. Like, are any of these attacks really motivated by incel ideology? My expert opinion is no, not really. Is that these are people with a whole host of problems, and coming across this content probably didn't help. But I don't think it's creating killers. So I think someone who hates people and hates women and has a huge problem with women and doesn't have a girlfriend and has nothing to live for is and would commit an attack like that is likely to be an incel, but it's not because of being one or calling themselves that they are committing the attack.
Mm-hmm. Now, we just talked about a lot of the darker moments and aspects of the incel community. Is there any positivity? Like, have you ever found them, you know, trying to support each other in game plan? Like, we're going to improve your ability to communicate, and we're going to get you someone. Like, does that happen too?
Yeah, oh yeah, it definitely does. You know, and even though they have this rule about like no non-incels allowed on the site, they still maintain their connections with each other when one of them, quote unquote, ascends, which is their word for, you know, ascending out of inceldom by having sex or having a girlfriend or something. Very video.
So that's not frowned upon? Like if an incel, like if someone who identifies as incel all of a sudden isn't coming around because they met a girl or whatever, people are okay with that?
Well, they can't come around anymore to their official spaces because they're not incel, but people are happy for them. You know,
okay.
I've tweeted, there's the occasional incel that will ascend and will tweet about it. And I retweet it and you see hundreds of comments supporting them. Some of them will say things like, good luck, see you here next week, bro. Just kidding, haha. You know, stuff like that. And they okay. they also have, you know, this idea of Looksmaxing and Looksmax forum. It's like a counterpart forum, which focuses on self-improvement, you know, physically. Gym maxing is one of the ways. But, you know, actual self-improvement of oneself, while it's not really a big theme within their spaces online, because, you know, that's seen maybe as like victim blaming a little bit or like minimizing problems. Individual incels, tons that have been on my show, have given that kind of advice and have talked about how important it is to find meaning and purpose in your life, not for the sake of ascending or finding a, you know, a girlfriend or something, but just to have it. Some of them refer to that as the white pill, or being white pilled.
As opposed to the
black pill.
Was it red? Black pill is like, I'm rotten, I'm going to kill somebody.
You know, not
like
I'm going to kill the... somebody. No, no, no. Okay. I drew the short straw of the genetic and social lottery. And this is why people, you know, don't like me and don't respond well to me. And this is how women see me, and nothing, there's nothing I can ever do to change that. That's the black.
Okay.
In a nutshell.
Okay. All right. So we'll start wrapping it up, but before we do, do you want to give any idea of what's coming next on your show? And as well, let us know where to find your podcast.
So my podcast is just called Incel, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts. And I'm on Twitter, but no other social media, really.
I've learned that. I was surprised by that. You have a big Facebook page, but you just don't use it?
I haven't touched it in like...
It's more like music themed anyway. I saw it and I was like, oh, she's on Facebook. And then I'm like, oh, wait, this is old.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just don't like Facebook. I have a personal Facebook page too, and I don't use it. Don't like it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Twitter's enough. I like Reddit too, but that's different. Mm-hmm. And so for upcoming episodes, I have some really good guests that are going to be on that, you know, might be more like journalists or kind of media commentators. And I have, I will have an upcoming episode with an escort cell, which is an incel who avails of the services of sex workers. But
explain that, escort cell instead of incel. Does that mean they're an incel, but they have had sex a bunch with escorts?
They have sex. Yes, they have had or do have sex, but with escorts. And since it's not someone, you know, choosing them, then it doesn't make them not incel anymore, even though they're not celibate anymore, but, you know, they still meet the criteria.
Okay, it's not necessarily ascending, but it's
not
getting
ascending.
A bit of a lift.
No, no, some of them look down on it a lot. Some of them say, oh, that there's no, you know, there's no point in that. There's no even pleasure in that. Like, you know, the person doesn't actually like you. They're just pretending to. So it's not considered ascending in any way. And some of them don't. Some of them look down on it a lot, but it is a way, it's a cope. They'd call it that.
That's a good way to put it. I would. So you said you're having someone who is an escort cell in the future on the show. That will be an interesting thing to hear.
Yeah, that's just one I have coming down the pipeline. I've got a lot of them, you know, sort of waiting to be edited and fired off.
I get exactly what you mean. Well, I appreciate you coming on and telling us about the strange world of incels. It's when I first learned about this community and what they believe, I couldn't help but like laugh and just kind of almost like find humor in it. Like, that's so bizarre. But the more you learn, it's not as rare as you think. There's more people than you would think, but also it's like when you kind of in talking to you and getting a sense of like what makes these people tick and what connects them together, it does make sense.
Yeah,
it's just I never would have expected this to be an issue.
Yeah, but I mean that's kind of a testament to the time that we're living in, and I guess how much pressure there is for everyone to kind of fit in with social media and all of that, and how disconnected people are from each other too.
Yeah. And I should have mentioned this earlier, but you did bring up the idea that there's possibly even more incels now because of the pandemic. But just with the way the world is now, it would be very hard to meet people and date, and people are spending more time online. Mm-hmm. So this is almost like the golden age for inceldom.
Yeah.
It's going to be, it's you're sitting at home with nothing to do except go on the internet.
Yeah, exactly. It really is true. And a lot of people are meeting online, you know, and that comes with its whole host of problems for a certain type of person.
I want to thank you for joining Nama and I for our discussion surrounding the world of incels. If you find this topic interesting, be sure to listen to my past series about Alec Manassian. he was the self-identified incel that was responsible for the Toronto van attack. As well, be sure to check out Nama's show, Incel, as she has done a much deeper dive into this topic than anyone else in the podcast space. And with that, I'll wrap up this episode of Nighttime, but before we part, I'm going to give thanks. First, a big thank you to Nama for sharing an evening with me and with the listeners of Nighttime. Next, a big shout out to Monty Data for contributing the music for this episode. And lastly, and but most importantly, a massive thank you to everyone who listens to Nighttime, as without your interest and your support, the show would be as pointless as it would be impossible. But having said that, keeping the show alive is and has always been an uphill battle. So if you want to keep things moving here, please listen on the premium feed. Not only does it make the show possible, it'll give you more of each topic than you'll find here on the free feed, as I'm adding exclusive content regularly. For about the price of a cup of coffee, you can support the show at patreon.com/nighttimepodcast. And having said that, let me thank the newest supporters of the show. The Starman, Michael Juba, David P., Ashby Caper, Colette D., Quinn A., Lisa C., and Ingrid. Thank you for going premium. And for anyone else who'd like to support the show but can't subscribe to the premium feed, you can give me a big hand by simply sharing the episodes on social media and letting like-minded friends know what we're doing here. As well, if you have any story ideas or if you want to give feedback on the show, you can reach me at nighttimepodcast.com/contact or on social media, as I use Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and I'm often live on the Nighttime Podcast YouTube channel. So until next time, take care of each other, hug your loved ones tight, and let me know if you see anything weird.
The Nighttime Podcast is written, hosted, and produced by Jordan Bonaparte. Copyright Jordan Bonaparte.